KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a little bit of sun peeking through the clouds. It's 63 degrees. We look forward to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high around 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In Western Iowa news, Interstate 29 between the Missouri border and U.S. Highway 34 near Glenwood has officially reopened to traffic after being closed for the second time this spring due to flooding. The Iowa DOT says the I-29 exit ramps will remain closed from the Missouri border to south of U.S. 34, and nearest available services such as fuel can be found east on U.S. 34 in the city of Glenwood. Along that section of I-29, a 12-foot width restriction will be in place, as well as intermittent lane closures due to flood repairs. Flood-related closures continue on U.S. Highway 34 west of Interstate 29, Iowa Highway 2, Iowa Highway 275, and 333. Travelers should check 511IA.org, the Iowa 511 mobile app, or call 511 for up-to-date closure information on state-owned roadways across Iowa. The Midwest Partnership Economic Development Corporation is partnering with Iowa Workforce Development and the Iowa Economic Development Authority to complete a labor shed employment study for the Greenfield and Guthrie Center areas. The separate studies will geographically define which communities contribute to Greenfield and Guthrie Center's workforce, regardless of political boundaries. The defined area is called a labor shed area and is based on commuting patterns. Officials say the purpose of the labor shed study is to measure the availability and characteristics of Greenfield and Guthrie Center area workers. Labor shed studies are useful tools, they say, for economic development teams and existing or prospective employers to understand the local labor market, make informed expansion and site selection decisions, and maintain or recruit a high-quality workforce. For the success of the study, the Midwest Partnership and Iowa Economic Development Authority will be sending letters to employers in Greenfield and Guthrie Center asking that they provide aggregate counts of their employees' residential zip codes. That will determine what the scope and scale of the respective labor shed area is and better understand where the workforces reside. A confidential survey of residents will also be conducted to collect workforce characteristic information specific to the area. Residents will receive a letter directing them how to take the survey online, and or they will receive a telephone call to take the survey. Now, the survey call originates out of Cedar Rapids, therefore the incoming number will have a 319 area code. It's possible, they say, you may receive a text message from their 888 number as well, alerting you to expect a call from them. Survey questions will cover topics such as employment status, current and desired wages, current and desired benefits, education level, and type of occupation, among other things. However, Iowa Workforce Development will not ask survey takers identifiable information such as name, Social Security number, or date of birth. Every year, Iowa Workforce Development conducts labor shed studies across the state. The results of each analysis are publicly available online at www.iowalmi.gov/laborshed. If you have any questions about the project, contact Katie Lippold at 515-281-3035 or Sarah Gomez with Midwest Partnership EDC at 515-523-1262. There are several matters that will be addressed tonight during the Atlantic City Council meeting that begins at 5:30 at City Hall in their council's chambers. The agenda says the council will act on an order to temporarily restrict parking on July 27th to only the east side of Palm Street from 7th to 10th, and that pertains to the Cass County Fair. In order to close a portion of the alley between 6th and 7th Streets and Hickory and Laurel, beginning at 6 a.m. July 21st until 2 a.m. July 22nd, and that's for the Fireside Lounge's RAGBRAI activities. Other matters the council will handle tonight include a resolution authorizing final transfers for fiscal year 2019 with regard to reconciliation of the cost accounting of the city's 94 separate funds, a resolution approving the contracts and bonds for the street department building addition, a resolution adopting a 28E fire protection agreement with Grove, Washington, and Pimosa townships, and the second reading of an ordinance with regard to fireworks, among other matters. In our funeral announcements, Dorothy Gall, age 94, of Harlan, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial for Dorothy Gall will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Douglas Twigg, age 71, of Panora, died Friday. Funeral services for Douglas Twigg will be held today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twigg Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Richard Martison, age 72, of Elkhorn, died Friday at CCMH. Funeral services for Richard Martison will be today at 2 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church, with Odie Funeral Home of Kimbleton in charge of arrangements. Mavis Dannenberg, age 98, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Memorial services for Mavis Dannenberg will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Heritage House. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Linda Carol Jacobson, age 67, of Harlan, died Saturday at Methodist Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Linda Jacobson will be tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Bally Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Willadine Duff, age 91, of Denison and formerly of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services for Willadine Duff will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Wayne Tye, age 72, of Griswold, died Sunday at Bergen Mercy Hospital. A massive Christian burial for Wayne Tye will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Recon Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Betty Ingerslev, age 95, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Betty Ingerslev will be held Saturday at 10:30 at Bethany Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Thomas Ludwig, age 72, of Harlan, died June the 12th. A massive Christian burial for Thomas Ludwig will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Sue Stifler, age 74, of Exira, died June 2nd. A celebration of life memorial gathering for Sue Stifler will be Saturday from 2 until 4 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Nancy Dreher, age 70, of Hamlin, died June the 5th. Per her wishes, cremation has taken place. Memorial services for Nancy Dreher will be held Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Christopher Tucker, age 47, of rural Bridgewater, died Sunday. Funeral services for Christopher Tucker will be Monday at 7 p.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Randy Allen, age 64, of Carson, died Monday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital. A memorial service for Randy Allen will be June 29th at 2 p.m. at the Carson United Methodist Church. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Rosemary Boots, age 79, of Menlo, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Rosemary Boots are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.